Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible. Here, we study the Bible. We aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. By the grace of the Lord, we have been able to do 21 books of the Bible. And it's amazing what God does, how God reveals his word to us. And if you've not been able to listen to the podcasts we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on our app, that's Bible In-Depth Network. You can also be able to find them on all podcast channels and platforms, that is Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Podbean, Stitcher, Deezer, Spotify, name it. You'll find Bible In-Depth there. And you'll be able to find all the episodes we've done. There are over 300 plus episodes straight from the book of Genesis. And I believe the Lord shall speak to you because there's no limitation to revelation. Even as you listen, the Lord brings a word in your heart. And it's new every morning. That's what's amazing about our God, that he gives you a new word, new to you, every morning, special, set out for you. And today you can read something in scripture and you come back tomorrow, and when you read it, it's totally different. And it's still speaking to you, giving you hope, giving you life. And I encourage you to keep listening. Even those that we've already done, you go back and listen, just like it does for me. Sometimes I listen and I get new revelation. And that's how amazing God is to us, his children. He brings it, makes it anew every morning. To everybody, God has given you his spirit. And he will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. He will reveal it to you. It doesn't matter whether you're a preacher or not, whether you're a pastor or not. God reveals his word to every single person. And that person is you. And God can reveal his word to you. Today, I hope we can conclude the book of Song of Solomon. It's an interesting book. Some people see it in a form of drama, like it's a drama that was written out by Solomon. Others see it as a poem. The others then find Christ and the church there when they look at this book. But also the other angle of it is the fact that this could be a love story between two lovers, a man and a woman, who love one another. And we try to look at it in all angles, whichever it fits. And we've done 5 chapters. Today I want us to continue with chapter 6. And it says, "Where has your beloved gone, O most beautiful among women?" Now, these are the other women, the other people, the daughters of Jerusalem, talking to her now and saying, "Where has your lover gone? Remember where we ended yesterday?" She took long to open the door, and the man just went off. And now she comes out looking for him. Yeah? And she tells his friends, the daughters of Zion, "Guys, I am looking for my lover. He's gone. Where can I find him?" Now they're asking her, "Where has she gone, most beautiful among women?" You know, there are things that can happen to your life, and those who used to look at you and mock, these are the same women who used to look at this woman and say, "You're dark, your body is tanned, the world has hit you so bad. What is wrong with you?" Now they are calling her most beautiful among women. What has changed her? She got a man who loved her. She got a man who took good care of her. And that spells down to you as a man as well, taking care of your wife or your spouse or your partner, that they look good, because when they go out, they represent you. When they go out, they speak for you. When they see them looking good, they're like, you take good care of her. Yeah, and it's two-way as well. Even the man has to look good. Take care of them. Yeah, in whichever way possible that God has given you the power to do. So, this woman who was once told she's dark-skinned, the sun has hit her, she does not look good, by these same women, they are now the ones saying, "Oh, most beautiful among women." And that is one thing also that God does for us, that Christ does for us. When people have seen you to be useless, when people have seen you to be hopeless, when people don't think that you have a purpose in life, and Christ patches you up, takes away the dark tan on your skin, gives you a glow with his glory and mercy and honor and favor and grace upon your life, that people who used to laugh and say, look how dark he is, and say, look how spoiled he is, and say, look how poor he is, look how hopeless he is, look how he has nothing waiting good for him in the future, look at you and say, oh, most blessed among men. They look at you and say, this man, this woman has been blessed by the Lord. That's what Jesus does to us as well. That's why we need him in our lives. He takes a story that was bad in the beginning and makes it good. A woman who was looked at as one that is not favored, as one without beauty, is now being called most beautiful among men. Reason, the person that she related with has taken good care of her. She looks good. She is precious. Yeah? And that's what they are calling her. Where has your beloved turned? That we may seek him with you. Now they're offering, we want to look for him together. We want to help you. And she says, I have an idea where this man has gone. My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to graze in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He grazes among the lilies. Whichever this might imply, whichever way you might interpret it, the key word here is the fact that we talked about yesterday. The confidence that you belong to somebody and that person belongs to you. How confident can I be to say that I belong to my spouse? How confident can she be to say that that she is the only one and belongs to me? That is one thing that we struggle with today, with the nature of relationships and the fighting and all the sort of things that happen in a relationship, that there is no confidence that you're actually the only person, that there is no confidence that the person is being faithful to you. This woman has confidence, says, I am my beloved's. I belong to him. And he belongs to me. There are not many for me. I have that one person for me. And that's key. You can't handle multiple relationships. You can't handle multiple women. You can't handle multiple men. There is that one that God has made for you. And when you find them, you are theirs and they are yours. Keep the connection. Keep the relationship. Keep moving together. Keep in love. And have confidence in one another that you belong to each other. Love. Give all the love that you have to one person. Don't share it because you don't have much to share. Yeah? When it comes to that angle. Yeah? You be faithful. So, there's this confidence she has that I am my beloved. And my beloved is mine. Now, here is the man they've been looking for. He says, you are beautiful as Tirzah, my love, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. Turn away your eyes from me, for they overwhelm me. He's saying, when you look at me, just blow me away. This guy had his vibes. He had a way he looked at things. And the major one here is the way that he keeps on complimenting. We talked about that yesterday. Speaking good about this woman that he has. If you don't compliment your woman, who will do it for you? Eventually, you come out crying that she's been stolen. But you need to compliment. You need to be able to go out and speak about your partner and tell them, yeah, that they are beautiful, that they look good, that their nose is on point, that their hair is as soft. You find a way of doing it because it's you who knows your partner. You get out, speak good about them, let them feel good. Now this one is saying, when you look at me, you melt me so. Please, your eyes overwhelm me. Your hair is like a flock of goats sleeping down the slopes of Gilead. Your teeth are like the flock of ewes that come up from the washing. All of them bear twins. Not one among them has lost its young. And he goes and says, your cheeks are like halves of pomegranate behind your veil. I think these cheeks were a bit big, because if they're halves of a fruit. But then, to him, that was the beauty. To you, you may not like cheeks, big cheeks, but this one, he wanted those, yeah, with the some weight on their face. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my perfect one, is the only one of her mother, pure to her who bore her. The young men saw her and called her blessed. The queens and concubines also, and they praised her. Solomon is saying, I have many wives. Remember, we saw he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. This one is a special case. She makes it to the books. She makes it to whatever you call this book, whether it's a poem or a drama or whatever it is, description you give it to this love story. She makes it there. Says this is the prettiest of them all. And even when those other in the harem look at her, the other women that I have, they say, surely this one is blessed. Yeah, they praise her. Who is this who looks down like the dawn, beautiful as the moon, bright as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? And she comes out and says, I went down to the nut orchard to look at the blossoms of the valley, to see whether the vines had budded, whether the pomegranates were in bloom. Before I was aware, my desire set me among the chariot of my kinsman, a prince, had come out to look for you. And indeed, I have found you, I came out seeking for you. And indeed, I have found you, That's what she comes out to say, that yes, finally, I have found you. And now the others who had gone to help her look for the man, they come and say, return, return, O Shulamite. Shulamite, this is the woman. She's the Shulamite woman they're talking about. Return, return, that we may look upon you. And the man says, why should you look upon the Shulamite as upon a dance before two armies? Wondering, why do you do that? And he goes on, how beautiful are your feet in sandals, O noble daughter. This man would never stop. He would compliment each and every day that goes by. Compliments don't stop on your wedding day. Compliments don't stop on the day you feel good, or when you feel like they have treated you well. Compliments are daily. Compliments are continuous. You keep complimenting one another. You keep speaking good things about one another, because that renews love. That rekindles the fire. That brings the joy between you and your spouse. So this man does not stop. He keeps on. And he says, your rounded thighs are like jewels, the work of a master hand. He is praising her body, saying, your body is perfect. You praise one another. You praise the body. You don't be there comparing other women. You're on TV, you're watching TV, you say, oh, that one has a better body shape than yours. No, praise the body of that person God has given you. Because you loved her. You saw her. By the time you got into a relationship with that person, you saw and believed that they were the best, that they looked the best. So keep on doing that. And it does not stop. You're never a rounded bow that never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is a heap of wheat encircled with lilies. Saying your belly is on point. Doesn't matter which angle it has gone, maybe due to child delivery or what. You keep praising that spouse of yours. It encourages them. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. I can give you a picture of how this woman looked like. She must have had a long neck to be compared to an ivory tower. But hey, that is what worked for him. So don't go out saying how I don't like the ladies with long necks. That is your business. This one liked this one who had a long neck. And he compares it to an ivory tower. Your eyes are pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bath Rabbim. Your nose is like a tower of Lebanon which looks towards Damascus. Now the nose also comes in. It's not only those with small, well-rounded noses that are beautiful. This one had one like a tower, and she was considered most beautiful among women. So your nose shouldn't make you uncomfortable. Enjoy it. Someone will find it and tell you it's like a tower of Lebanon that looks toward Damascus. Someone will love it and praise it. So don't worry about it. Don't go have it cut in plastic surgery and done all sorts of things. No. You're perfect. You're made by God. And somebody's out there and they will appreciate you and they'll come out and say you're beautiful. Yeah? Your head crowns you like camel. And your flowing locks are like purple. A king is held captive in the tresses. How beautiful and pleasant you are, O loved one, with all your delights. Yeah? Your stature is like a palm tree and your breasts are like its clusters. I say I will climb the palm tree and lay hold of its fruits. Oh, may your breasts be like the clusters of vine and the scent of your breath like apples and your mouth like the best wine. Now, yesterday we spoke about hygiene and this man is praising the scent of the wife or the partner, saying the scent of your breath. When you speak, it's like apples. This woman knows how to brush well. She knows how to take care of her mouth. That when she speaks, it's good. You know, sometimes you're trying to get a girlfriend or a wife or somebody to marry. You take them on a date. And when you open your mouth, hell breaks loose. Yeah? Try to look at hygiene. Try to cater for such things. They are small, but they matter. Yeah? And somebody needs to come out and speak that your scent is good. Now, that doesn't mean if you've never been complimented in such a manner that your mouth doesn't smell good. No, but it's something to consider. This one is saying the scent of your breath is good. It's like apples. Yeah, when you speak, it's like an apple is around the corner. Those are things that boost love. It goes down smoothly for my beloved, gliding over lips and teeth. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. This woman is confident. She says, there's a harem for this king, and there are many women in it, but I am sure I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. It is me he wants. There's no competition as far as she's concerned. She says, yes, that harem may have been filled with women before I came, but I have come. I am the final one. He wants me. That's the confidence that you have for your partner, and that's the confidence that you give to your partner. That you are theirs and theirs alone. And this bride is giving her love, saying, come, my beloved, let us go into the fields and lodge in the villages. Let us go out early to the vineyards and see whether the vines have budded, whether the grape blossoms have opened and the pomegranates are in bloom. There I'll give you my love. The mandrakes give forth fragrance, and besides our doors are all choice fruits, new as well as old, which I have laid up for you. Oh, my beloved. She's willing. She's ready. She wants them to have a good time together. Sparing time for your partner. Key thing. Sparing time. Sometimes we're too busy out there to work. Come back tired. But hey, whatever it is, you need to always find time for your partner. You need to spare time for them. And by sparing time, I mean in all things. In conversation. Yeah, to sit down and talk. Yeah, in listening, let them talk to you and you listen and you speak wherever you need. Sometimes they don't even need you to give counsel, but to just listen. Yeah, you spare time for that in talk, in listening. Yeah, you spare time in intimacy. It's key in a relationship. You don't go out saying, yes, we've had the intimacy, at least for this period. Now you can go a while without. No, you give them time. That's what this woman is doing in what we've just read. Say, let's go away. Let's go somewhere and have our time together and have some fun together and enjoy the love that God has given to us. And oftentimes, relationships fail because of time. And the bad part of it is often it's not that you couldn't give the time, but you just lost track at one point and then it brings trouble into a relationship, into a marriage. But you need to find time always for your spouse because it has to work. You need to make it work. Doesn't matter how much you work, go out, come back tired, find the time, both to the man and to the woman. And chapter 8, which is the last chapter of this book, says, oh, that you are like a brother to me who nursed at my mother's breasts. If I found you outside, I would kiss you and none would despise me. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, she who used to teach me. I would give you spiced wine to drink, the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand is under my head, his right hand embraces me. I adjure you, daughters of Jerusalem, that you do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. I think this is the third time we're reading this. One says, I have been taken up by love. You know, when you awaken love, it does come. And sometimes you may see me, I do not have it. But awaken it and see how much you love. Yeah, don't go out saying, for me, my life is finished. I was hurt so many times, broken so many times, heartbroken 1,000 times. Many men have left me. Many women have betrayed me, brought me down. No, don't put it to sleep. Awaken that love. It's still in there. Awaken it. Open your life to somebody who will change things, who will change that mentality that you've grown that is negative toward love. Awaken it. This lady here, this Shulamite, decided to awaken it, and it has come heavy on her. She cannot even stand it when the man is not there. She even has confidence that this love that I have awoken is for my man, and he belongs to me and I belong to him. Who is that coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Under the apple tree I awakened you. There your mother was in labor with you. There she who bore you was in labor. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is as fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the flame of the Lord. Of course, there's a statement there made that love is strong as death. You feel it. Just like when you lose a person and you feel it strong. So happens with love. It is strong. It is real. It hits you. And I pray that God gives us the grace to feel that love in us, that we can even extend it to those in life. It's not just about love of a spouse, but even love for your neighbor. Even love for Christ himself. It has to be that strong. Yeah, that you feel every part of it, the emotion of it. It comes in and consumes you. And you're in love with him. And you're looking for Christ. You're out in the night praying. You're out in looking for a relationship with him. You're out there listening to commands that he gives you. You know, when you're in love, there's things you set that govern your relationship. This love, the love that you set has ways that you handle it. Has terms and conditions. When we are in love, we do not do this. When we are in love, we are faithful to one another. When we are in love, we speak like this to one another. And that is the same thing, even with Christ himself, that if you love him, if you love the Lord, there are terms, there are conditions you set out for the relationship. And that has been set by the Lord himself. When you read the word of God, these are terms, these are conditions, these are ways in which our relationship with him is governed. He says, do this, you do that. He says, you shall not do this, you don't do that. Because those are the terms of the relationship you have. And if the love is real, like we've read here, strong as death, real, you feel it to the marrow. If you feel it, you will treasure that relationship. You will say, that is not in our agreement. As far as love is concerned, I will not be a hypocrite. As far as our love is concerned, I will be faithful. I will love people. I will not cheat people. Yeah? I will not do all those sorts of things that are spoken of in the word as things that anger God. Yeah, that lead to destruction, that kill the relationship between me and him. Because if love is real, if you feel it and get to the point of its reality, you will treasure that love. Verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. You cannot pour water in it. You know, if somebody loves the other, however much you come and speak, that's sometimes where we need wisdom. A couple is going through trouble, a marriage is in turmoil, and you go out and speak to the person, tell them that man is stupid, he does not think well, last time he did this and this, how did you even get married to that man and all, and you say all the trash about the man, and guess what? 3 months down the road, the two are back together, enjoying life, and you're the discussion of how much you called the other party stupid. Can you believe that girl called you stupid? He said, I made a mistake to get married to you. And now you're in trouble, because the reason is many waters cannot quench love. If these people loved one another, there is no way you can come to kill it. So we need to even be wise as we give counsel, or as we are there for people when they're in their troubled times, because there is no assurance for you, not knowing how real their love is, because it could have been real and strong, that it can go through a turmoil that the other party refused to open the door, but then when this one went out to find them, they got them back. They had their troubles, they've been resolved, and love is real. And however much waters or floods come, they cannot quench it. Now you're the one in trouble for the words you spoke as a friend trying to help a sister or a brother. But these two are back together and they're in love, because waters don't quench the love. That's why you see, sometimes we'll say, we thought they are finished. The fight they had seemed to be the last one that they will ever have. But because of that love, that is as real and as strong as death, that is real, they get back together. That's what love does. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would utterly despised. And now he gives the final advice. Others now speak, the daughters of Jerusalem, the many that have been in part of this book, they come and say, we have a little sister and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she's spoken of? If she is a wall, we will build on her a battlement of silver. If she's a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. Of course, here they must be speaking of an insecurity that someone has about their beauty and how much they will try to spice it up. But like we've seen with this Shulamite woman, that is not the issue. Insecurities are not the issue. If love is there, that is what matters. Yeah? And she comes and says, I was a wall and my breasts were like towers. Then I was in his eyes as one who finds peace. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard to keepers. Each one was to bring for its fruit 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard is my very own. My vineyard, my very own, is before me. You, O Solomon, may have 1,000, and the keepers of the fruit 200. She's giving everything to him. You give all that you have. You give all that you are in a relationship. You don't give parts. We talked about this. You don't divide love that I will give you 10% and the other 30 and the other 40. No. You give 100% to that person. This is what the woman is saying. Say, I give you everything, Solomon. It belongs to you. And he says, all you who dwell in the gardens with companions listening for your voice, let me hear it. And she says, in conclusion, make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. And these two have spelt out love as they see it, as they know it, as it works for them. You two can do the same. And we might be having issues in relationships that we have, but what is key is love. We can work out issues in relationships and get back to that point of love and get back to want the company of each other. That even when we've erred and done all trouble, we can still find it in our lives to go back, correct it. Sometimes we need to swallow our pride. Some of us wrong and keep in pride. You hurt someone and you keep in pride. You need to know that I need to sort this out. Get back to that person. If he needs to say I'm sorry, I need to do so, because there is nothing greater than having love that is real and strong. And if God has blessed you with such a person in this life, then you need to honor God and thank him and praise him, and also make it a point that you do not lose that person that God has brought into your life. Love is a gift. And if God has given you that gift of love, and even given the person to share it with, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Of course, the ultimate gift is our relationship with him, the love that he gives to us as Almighty God. And he loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For those that have compared this book to the love between Christ and the church, and wherever it applies, it speaks to you and me that Christ loves us, and he has this relationship that he treasures with us, and he wants us to be his own. We as a church, we as a people, walking with him. Just as we need to love those that God has brought into our lives, that spouse that God has brought into your life, that partner that God has brought into your life, love them, and the best shall be for you. That marks the end of the book of the Song of Solomon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your favor. Lord, help us learn to love. Help us learn to handle our relationships, our marriages. Help us learn even to know this relationship we have with you, the love that you have given to us as our Lord. And may we always treasure it and honor it all the days of our life. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.